This is an AMI podcast. This is an AMI podcast.
I'm Dave Brown, and this is a podcast version of AMI's Morning Show, Now with Dave Brown. Catch the live broadcasts weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m. Eastern on AMI Audio and AMI TV. Welcome back. It's Now with Dave Brown on AMI Audio and AMI TV. Let's get to a preview of The Guardian this week with Don Dickinson. Of course, you can catch the entire reading program at 12 p.m. Eastern Time on Saturdays on AMI Audio. And Don is the producer of that program, and she's here with a preview. Hey, good morning, Don.
Hey, Dave. How are you?
I'm well. So, Don, let's start over in England. And they're talking about their own vaccine incentives as we're talking about vaccine penalties in the province just to the east of us in Quebec. UK's Minister for the State of Housing, Eddie Hughes, says local authorities can now offer COVID vaccine incentives for citizens experiencing homelessness. So, Don, what are these incentives that are being proposed?
Well, just to clarify, when the Brits refer to rough sleepers, they are referring to the homeless. Okay, so just to, so our Canadian listeners realize what's going on.
A little bit of English to English translation there.
Yeah, exactly. So rough sleepers in England can now be offered cash and food vouchers if they agree to have a COVID jab. The disclosure, first reported in the local government Chronicle, comes amid growing impatience within government circles with people refusing to take up the COVID vaccine offers.
It's interesting, Dawn, because in Canada, a lot of people experiencing homelessness were folks that were prioritized in our vaccine rollout, to getting clinics set up at shelters, bringing mobile vaccination units. But what are the numbers looking like in regards to the homeless population in England in regards to vaccine uptake?
While the UK has one of the highest vaccine uptakes in the world, with more than 85% of adults already double jabbed, according to government data, millions have yet to have a full vaccine course. The homeless population has been especially hit hard by COVID-19, with one in 50 deaths among this group related to coronavirus in 2020, according to the Office for National Statistics, the ONS.
So how are these incentives being distributed?
Actually, incentivization will be at the discretion of local authorities. They'll include such items as transportation, subsistence costs, childcare, support worker costs. A spokesman for the Department for Leveling Up. I love that. What a department to
Wait,
work for.
Come
eh?
Again one more time with that one. What's the name of that department?
It's a spokesman for the Department for Leveling Up.
I mean, come on. That is some creative department naming right there.
Yeah, says that the discretion given to councils, local councils, includes the ability to offer all of these particular things that I've just mentioned, also cash or food vouchers. And so basically, they're just giving it to the local councils to decide, which I think is very valid, because, you know, they know their communities the best, right?
Yeah, a lot of COVID policy tends to be made at the grassroots level. It can be most implemented effectively at the grassroots level as well. Hey, Don, let's jump over from England to Hong Kong, where a number of newsroom closures are happening, and we're seeing an exodus of journalists, editors, etc., as a result of, well, the Chinese takeover that's been going on for decades, but the heat has really ramped up since 2020. So how are journalists and editors feeling in this environment in Hong Kong right now?
Well, as you said, it has been going on. It's obviously getting worse. Many Chinese language news outlets are closing, citing a deteriorating media environment and concerns for the safety of their staff. It was a quote, "It was a painful decision." This is Chris Young and his of the Citizen News, and his editor-in-chief, Daisy Lee. They said it was a painful decision to make. If we're no longer confident enough to guide and lead our reporters, we must take responsibility, Lee said last week. Can we work on more safe news, we've been asked. Well, I don't even know what safe news is these days with the government crackdowns. So, not great times for journalism.
Don, the answer to this, I imagine, is very self-evident. But what are free speech campaigners saying about this?
Well, the latest developments came as no surprise to those who follow recent events in Hong Kong, once a freewheeling media industry. The exodus of journalists and editors from the territory's much acclaimed news outlets such as cable TV and its public broadcaster RTHK in the last couple of years has alarmed free speech campaigners in the city and beyond. Barely a week ago, another Chinese outlet, Stand News, was forced to close after 200 police officers raided its offices and detained 7 current and former employees. 2 former senior editors were charged with conspiracy to publish seditious material and denied bail. So, serious repercussions for these journalists.
Are these crackdowns limited to simply Hong Kong?
Well, sadly, Dave, no. Across Asia, the erosion of press freedom has repeatedly made headlines in recent years. In Myanmar, dozens of journalists have been jailed since last year's military coup. In Thailand, an emergency decree to ban news that incites fear, that's interesting, was announced after anti-government protests. And in the Philippines, the country's most profitable broadcaster, ABS-CBN, was forced to shut down. Also, these incidents are a poignant reminder that even the most successful news outlets could not survive authoritarian resurgence.
Hey, Don, this story is certainly one that I know hits us pretty close to home. So thank you for bringing it to us today. Looking forward to listening to the entire program on the weekend.
You're very welcome, Dave. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Now with Dave Brown. Hit the subscribe button on any podcast platform and leave us a rating and a review.
This was an AMI podcast. For more accessible media, visit AMI.ca.